welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is Margaret Gray. Thank you for that intro, Phil. I think you'll all take it with a grain of salt. Take it with a grain of salt, yes. Well, technically, take it with a grain of salt. Also, Robert Leonard is with us. Robert?
Yeah, hello, everyone. This is Robert Leonard. We have Bud Dickman.
Yeah, it's Bud Dickman, and we're going to have a very special guest today, Karen Deauville, and talk about her days when she was a flight attendant and everything.
That is going to be unique. Karen Deauville is a very dear friend, but she's also someone that listens to the program, calls in, and...
Well, she's a little bit of a...
Yeah, she's a little bit of a groupie, but... And, of course, General Shaw.
And now, here's Phil Hendry. I didn't know that, Bud.
Yeah, this Karen Deauville will call in.
She called earlier and said that she knew that you wanted to do this story about the flight attendant that had...
Well, there's a flight attendant. What does she do? Well,
she ditched some kind of a crazy story, Robert. You were...
Yeah, ditched cocaine and, I don't know, cocaine and designer shoes.
I need cocaine designer shoes.
Not cocaine designer shoes. That's what she ditched it.
She ditched it?
Well, the assumption being that she either stole these things or they're somehow illicit.
Yeah, probably, you know, try to get through duty free. A lot of these people try to smuggle the drugs, you know, in a body orifice or some GD thing. I wouldn't know anything about it. You could well imagine.
No, I don't think that's it. I think it...
Well, we'll find out, right?
No, I think she's just trying to...
She ditched the designer shoes.
Yeah, she ditched them.
Fine. I don't know what ditched them means.
Well, you know how a lot of these people will secrete? I think that's the word.
Yes, that is the word that the law enforcement uses.
Right. They secrete drugs... up there, you know, and...
What's that got to do with her ditching designer shoes?
Well, she might... That's where we're thinking.
Well, you don't think she put... I don't think that that's...
Could be.
She might have put the designer shoes up there.
Are you nuts or something?
Get out of here, will you? Put the designer shoes up there. Anyway, we'll have Karen Deauville with us.
Well, Phil, what is with you all of a sudden? Get out of here. How do you know that she didn't park... Well, I guess not.
Oh, you know, let me tell you something. Anybody parks designer shoes up there, you know what? You better have General Galen Shaw around because I'll make sure they go up there. I've parked more things that...
All right, General, thank you very much.
I just thought I'd let you know.
Welcome to the program. And today is Friday. And as you know, or may have heard, Gary Shandling passed on. And Gary Shandling was a guy that I just had met very briefly, and he was absolutely a wonderful guy. And he came to our show to watch the show, and I'd found out that he was a fan of the show. I was just, you know, it's one of those moments that are you never forget it, you know, when you find out a guy that you admire so much, because he was a real creative comic mind. So he came to watch the show.
Bobby Dooley was on the air.
Yeah, Bobby Dooley was there. And as a matter of fact, Bobby was talking to him about being at the Summer Tacular. Bobby Dooley's joining us from the Western Estates. Bobby?
Yes, sir.
And Steve's there?
Yes, Steve's here.
I remember when Mr. Shanley...
Let me handle it, Steve, because I was the one that talked to him.
I was there.
I was the one that talked to him.
All right. Please don't argue about this.
Yeah, don't argue. What happened the day that Gary Shanley was at the studio?
Well, I was being interviewed by you for our Summer Tacular, and Mr. Shandling, and I believe it was Greg Kinnear. Okay?
Yeah, Greg Kinnear was there.
Yeah, Greg Kinnear. Do you know about Greg Kinnear?
Yeah, I know about Greg Kinnear.
Greg Kinnear was on the talk on the Laugh Soup, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't on Laugh Soup.
It was Talk Soup, but he was long gone from that. He was doing his acting career at that point.
Well, yes, he was.
Excuse me, but I'm the one that talked to Gary Shandling. You did.
Oh, well, excuse me. Are you seriously think I never talked to Gary Shandling?
I talked to Gary Shandling on Phil's show. You didn't.
Yeah, my wife, she's the one that did it.
Well, all right. Excuse me, Papa Bear.
Well, I'm just trying to say...
Okay. But I'm sure you met Gary Shandling. That's fine, Margaret, but Bobby was the one.
I was the one.
All right, well, so what about it?
Oh, my God, what a rude thing to say.
General, I'm sorry, but the general's right. What about it?
What about what? You want to be on the show.
Okay, so let me lead you into this.
Yeah, remember they were there and everything?
But I'll do it. So he came to the studio.
Well, my understanding was that Gary Shandling came to the studio to watch Phil's show. And Greg Kinnear had showed up as well. And Phil was there. And let's see, who else was there, Phil?
It doesn't matter. We had my engineer was there, probably Craig, and I think Chris Pelton.
That's right. Those are the people. And so I was on the phone, And Phil suddenly goes, oh, look, Gary Shandling's here. Okay.
Are you going to just drag this out because...
Because what?
Because you think you're all this, because you're talking about Gary Shandling. You're going to drag this out and try to stick my face...
Well, what's the problem, Margaret?
Margaret, she's just talking about a memory that she had.
You know something, Margaret? I'm really sorry that you didn't have the conversation that I had with Mr. Shandling about the creative workings of Mr. Henry's show.
You know, this is what I mean. She's going to drag this out and just sort of take my face and rake it through a mud, just a...
All right, Margaret, you know, you can't be petty. Let's talk about this.
My wife was the one that died.
I know that, Steve, for the 9 millionth time, but she's taking my face and raking it through pig stuff. That's what it feels like.
What?
It feels as if I have been pulled from a car and dropped face down into pig doo-doo. God.
Oh, my God, what an idiot.
Did you just call me an idiot?
All right, Margaret, I'm going to ask you to get up and leave the room.
Phil.
Get up and leave the room.
What an asshole.
What, did you hear that?
Oh, my God.
So what happened the day that I had you on?
Did she really call you?
Yeah, just what happened the day?
Bob, we're burning daylight.
I know we're burning daylight. I'm not the one that done burned it.
Yeah, she didn't burn it.
Burning, not burr.
I'm sorry. So Gary was there, and I feel I can call him Gary.
That's, yeah, okay.
Or if you don't want me to.
Gary was there.
Gary was there. And I said, Mr. Shandling, it would be wonderful if you would, you know, do a few minutes at our Summertacular. Could you just get up and do 5-10 minutes? And he says, no, I can't really. And I said, please, Mr. Shandling, we're going to have a fashion show. He says, no, I really can't. And I said, well, it would really. And finally he said, what's it pay? And we just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed, didn't we, Steve?
Yeah, we laughed a lot. It was so good.
I remember the line. It was very funny. The way you guys are saying it right now, kind of, you give me the creeps.
What do you mean I give you the creeps? Are you putting down Mr. Shandling?
No, you going, we laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. It was very funny.
Well, we did laugh, didn't we?
We laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Nothing. It's fine.
So you really are very judgmental. Gary Shandling talked to me, okay?
And he was on my show.
Listen to the two of you sound like children.
I'll let you back in here if you promise.
I'm sorry.
Is she coming back in?
Yes.
Yes, I am. I apologize if I was being childish, but I wanted you to know that I have interviewed Gary Shandling.
Well, I have no doubt that you have, Margaret, but this was the time that I got to talk to him. And so, anyway, Phil goes, so, Bobby... Why don't you talk to Gary Shandling? And I go, oh, Gary, would you like to do a few minutes? We'd love for you to get up and just do 10 minutes.
You already told the story here.
Yeah, honey, you got
it. I'm going to do it again because Margaret's here and she can hear it.
I heard it in the other room on the monitor.
I'll do it again.
Phil.
Just please.
So I go, Gary, would you do five? Could you get up and do 10 minutes? You know, because that's a very showbiz thing to say, you know? You know, Margaret?
Yes.
Bobby, don't push it, please.
All right.
Yeah, you're pushing it, honey.
You want to see me push something, Steve? I'll take you up to Chantry Flats, 3,000 feet.
Oh, man.
That's right. So anyway, he says, sure, and I said, can you do 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And he said, what's it pay?
Right, but like the first time...
That's all I've got, Phil. Thank you very much. I would really appreciate it if you'd let me hang up.
All right, Bobby. Thank you for being a part of the program. She's gone.
Yes.
Phil, I didn't do anything.
Margaret, you're always, you know, the word ginning it up. You're always ginning it up.
Yeah, but wait. General, just let her do a thing.
Are you, General, do you agree with this?
Yes, I agree, because when you sit down, you go, well, I interviewed him too, and you know how she is.
Yeah, exactly right. You would do, I've heard you at times when you're really nice to her and just let her have her moment in the sun. You know she doesn't want to share the spotlight. Listen to how she treats her husband.
I wanted people to know that I interviewed him.
Yeah, you interviewed him too, okay? So Bobby was there. By the way, folks, so I can get out of this bit and move on to something else.
How dare you, Phil? This is the passing of Gary Shandling.
Yeah, I got that, okay? But I got Bobby here telling the story three times and you getting pissed off because she's on the air. By the way, July of 2002 is the month that that show aired, and it will be a part of today. If you go over to our website, philhenryshow.com, as you know, every day we feature a backstage pass hour from our archives. That is today's backstage pass hour from our archives of July 2002. I don't know which hour it is, Bud, do you?
Probably about the middle, or maybe the first hour, or the well, that sounds kind of dumb.
That does, man. Which hour?
It's either the middle or the first of the...
It's either the middle of the first or the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a three-hour show. Well, that really narrows it down.
You know, Dickman, one of these days, science is going to really get into what makes you tick. Of course, you'll have to be dead, and they'll have your brain in a pan. Oh.
Hey. Why am I applauding that?
I don't know. We're going to be right back. Oh, wait. We do have Bob Bacon with the traffic, so we should get to that.
Phil Hendry Show traffic.
And it's Bob Bacon out here with the traffic here, brought to you by Dork Cola. That's Dork Cola. Get your Dork Cola for the dork in your house. Right now on the Fairmount Freeway, we got the 53, that's Bob out. And out here, up just on the north of that, the north edge of that ladder, if you go down to the larder, there's a lot of lard there. The lard ass up the front. So if you got the lard ass out there, you're going to have to get the lard out and put your lard ass up in the front. Here's this cowboy.
On the planet Saturn, here's a boy, Sky Baby Sweet Dance.
Holy God, it is Saturn. Boy, Sky Baby Sweet Dance. You remember when we were in Africa?
Hey, everybody, this is Wes Hurlford for Dork Cola. I tell you, I drink it, my band drinks it. Everybody come see us. Every time we come out to a festival, play a fair, they're drinking it out there. Dork Cola for the dork in your life. Let me tell you, the older I get, the more dorks gather around me.
I've heard lots of people say
Dork Cola. It comes in the fine, highly caffeinated bottles and cans. Dork Cola, it will pick you up and let you down. It'll pick you up and throw you a long, long way. That's right. You ought to drink the cola that Wes Hurlford and the Hurlers drink. It's called Dork Cola. That's right. Wes Hurlford and the Hurlfers, I should say. Not Wes Hurlford and the Western, as we've been through that whole legal thing. Wes Hurlford and the Hurlfers and Dork Cola. Dork Cola will pick you up and throw you a long way and never let you down unless you want to be let down. Dork Cola will not break your heart. Dork Cola! Dork Cola in the handy 8-pack and now the 36-pack. Available at Minson's. Everyone loves it. You will too. Minson's. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Thank you, Bob Bacon, for the traffic and all. And here's a lady that we have we have not too many, I guess, interactions with, and always enjoy talking to our good friend Karen Deauville. Karen is a fan of the show. We first met Karen a couple of years ago when her and her husband were at a couple of our personal appearances.
Well, she's a very dear lady. Karen, how are you? She's on line 3 this morning, and she's part of our newsmaker line, Karen.
Oh, good morning, everyone. I'm so excited. So thank you. Thank you for putting me on your program, Joe.
Karen, we want to talk to you about this story of a flight attendant who apparently was arrested after ditching cocaine and designer shoes. And we're not really sure the extent of this story, only to say that it's quite bizarre.
Well, you know, I flew for Gunther Airlines, and it was a wonderful one. I'm sorry.
Albert,
give me the phone. My husband, we're about to board an airplane. I'm sorry, Phil, we're going to board an airplane.
Oh, are you, you're going to get on the plane now?
Yeah, you want us to call you later?
No. I'm fine. I just want to let the guys know that I'm on the air right now. Tell the flight attendant, okay?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Phil, when I was flying for Gunther Airlines, I flew for a wonderful man, and his name was Bosch Gunther, Bosch Bilby Gunther. He was a wonderful, wonderful man, and we flew with him. I flew for 30 years, you know. And
dear, we can't understand you. If you can speak up.
I'm sorry. I flew for 30 years with Gunther Airlines. Did you fly with Gunther?
I'm sorry, I never did.
I never had the occasion.
No, we flew a lot of airlines over to Vietnam. Did you,
We did not. No, we did not do the Vietnam run. We did not. Now, what I ended up with, Mr. Gunther was wonderful, and his wife took over after he died of a heart attack. And you know something? When he fell out of the airplane...
But he died of a heart attack?
Well, he died of a heart attack on the way down, because that's what they're assuming. That's what they're assuming. You know.
Wait. This man fell out of an airplane.
Did he fall out of one of his aircraft?
He did. He did, and that's what really was the beginning of the demise of Gunther Airlines, because what happened was this, Phil. I'm talking, Herb, right now. We're going to get on the plane here about 15 minutes, okay?
Where are you guys off to, anyway?
We're going to Hawaii, and Larry's going to go with us.
I'm going, babe.
You know, you go everywhere with your brother-in-law, don't you?
Well, I do, because there's reasons for that. He needs to have people with him. And it works out okay for Herb and I. And I don't want to get any more into it. But you can well imagine. You know, you can well imagine some of the things we get up to.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
Wait a minute.
You should only...
No, let's not talk about that. So, Gunther Airlines, huh?
Yes, Gunther Airlines. My understanding, this particular lady, she briefly went on the lam after dishing her Gucci heels and luggage stuff with 68 pounds of cocaine. This was at LA International. Do you know what I did, Margaret? I drove a truck. It was my boyfriend's truck. I drove it up from Orlando, Florida, and I drove it to Kennedy International Airport. I had a flight going out on Gunther, and we were leaving to go out on Gunther to Dallas, Texas, and I had probably... It must have been 50 pounds of marijuana in the van.
Well, what were you doing that for?
Because my boyfriend wanted... He paid me $3,000, which was a lot of money then. Well, we drove, and suddenly the linkage got stuck. And so I said to Judy Canova, I said, Judy, get out. And she said, I got to unhook the linkage. She was driving. And I said, what did you do? She said, I couldn't get it out of drive. I was trying to get it in neutral, because they were in an automobile. You know, it was a traffic jam.
And you don't have to whisper.
I know, but my... So I said you screwed up the linkage because she was jimmying it around, you know.
Yeah, a lot of times with an automatic transmission, that's gonna do that.
That's exactly right, bud. You know what? I love your crew. I love your show. I love your crew.
How about that?
I'll be there in a minute, Herb. So I said, I gotta get out of this. And excuse me, Phil, we were very young in those days. I said, I gotta get out of this. This bitch. I said, I gotta get out of this bitch. And I gotta look underneath this piece of you know what. And she's going, oh, I didn't know. Oh, I don't like girly girls. You know, I don't like girly girls. And
okay, so we got to, you know, I know you got a plane to catch, and what'd you do, crawl under the van?
I crawled under the van, and I got the linkage unhooked. And we're in the Lincoln Tunnel. Do you remember that, Jerry? We were in the Lincoln Tunnel. So I said, let's get this piece of, may I just speak frankly, Phil?
Go ahead.
I said, let's get this piece of shit, and let's get it to Kennedy, and let's get the coke, and let's get the marijuana delivered to my boyfriend's hotel. Yeah, I'm whispering right now because there's a man walking by. He's got a uniform. Oh, are you the captain of the plane? Are you the captain?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, aren't you? You're very happy. So, I thought I was a cop.
All right, so you guys were, is this something that flight attendants do a lot of?
I'm sorry, but Phil just went, is this something? We always have to note that.
Oh, I did hear that, Phil.
No, you don't have to note that. Oh, God damn you, bud.
Sorry, I had to fart.
But your butt fart.
Never mind.
Oh, you guys crack me up when you're farting on each other. So, what happened was...
Jesus, bud.
Oh, my God, bud, you didn't.
But you gotta point it out to everybody.
Just move on. So, you delivered the marijuana, then what?
Then I got on a flight to Dallas. And when I got to Dallas, on the other end, there's a big man with a cowboy hat and sunglasses. He goes, ma'am, I'm with the Texas... Remember that, Jerry?
No, I'm with Texas Rangers.
He said, ma'am, I'm with the Texas Rangers. Are you Karen Kibbabubby, which is my maiden name?
What is your maiden name?
Karen Kibbabubby. K-I-B-U-B-B-I-B-Y.
Karen Kibbabubby.
Yes. But I got married in Stouffville.
Well, you know, I bet you're happy you're married to a guy named Deauville.
Why would that be? I mean, his entire family, the whole Deauville family's microcephalic. What are you talking about?
All right, so...
What a weird thing to say.
I'm saying the whole Deauville family's what? Because they've got an easy name to pronounce.
So I said, yes, I am. He said, well, I need to talk to you. So they took me into the back, and they said, lift up your skirt. I couldn't believe the things they asked me to do.
Well, so in other words, they were frisking you for drugs.
Yes, and they said, lift up your skirt, pull your panties down. Can you believe that?
No, tell me that. I mean, this is what cops are going to do now, humiliate people.
Yeah, you're just saying that because you're always got a persecution complex.
No, but it is absolutely true. So they said, you're Karen Kibibi, or Kibibibibi, and I said...
What is your name again?
My name is Karen. Boy, get a little... I'm talking to a guy here.
Karen, he's asking what your maiden name is.
Oh, I'm sorry, General. My maiden name is Karen Kibibibibi.
And,
Karen Kabib, you know, that's the kind of name that's going to make me want to strangle a human being before the day lets out, before the sun hits the horizon.
That's very interesting, but I really got to get going here.
So, go ahead.
So I said to Nancy, lift up your skirt, take your panties down. He said, now bend over and spread it. He had a flashlight, and I said, are you getting a good view there? And he goes, whatever. So I pulled my pants up, and I went on, and I served some hors d'oeuvres.
Come on, don't stay.
Okay, that's her. We got to get going. I just love the program. You have to. And that's it. And, oh, can I say hello to my friend?
All right, there is Karen Deauville.
Man, I let her... So she delivered marijuana and everything.
You know, I suppose in those days that was what was done.
Well, you know what? It is a hell of a thing to know that I was fighting in Vietnam for the freedom of America while the rest of you were over here sending with your packages of dope. Jesus.
Oh, come on, General. I mean, it was the times. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times, huh? Don't you remember Charles Dickens?
What's that got to do with America in the 20th century?
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. We were in a war, and yet the economy was good, and there was racial strife, and yet the middle class was doing well. I don't know. It was a very goofy thing. So there's Karen Deauville talking about her days as a flight attendant on Gunther Airlines, man. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I looked up Gunther Airlines. It is a small airline.
Oh, Bud has it right there. Go ahead, Bud.
It was a small airline that was started by Saddleman Gunther.
What's this guy's name?
Let me see that. Saddleman Jeeves Gunther. And it was started in Dallas, Texas in 1968, closed operations in 1975 after multiple plane crashes. Holy Christ.
Give me this. Jesus.
Look at this, folks. They had 7 consecutive planes blow up in the sky.
What is that? Was it terrorism?
No, it was bad maintenance. The engines were old. But one of them, the rings were shot. On another one, the fuel pump blew up.
What the heck?
All right. What are you laughing at? That's not funny at all, Phil.
Well, here's the thing. There were no casualties. Everyone, the planes blew up, but the pilots were able to nurse them back to land.
What are you talking about, man?
No, tell me the 5 planes in a row. I'm telling you nuts. You don't want to believe me. Here it is.
Gunther Airlines, huh?
That's it.
And on top of everything else, one of their flight attendants was dealing weed. It's a goofy, kooky, kooky kind of world. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Going to be right back here. I know we got to get Dean Wheeler on the line here because the story about yoga is like flipping me out, man. You know?
World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Hey! Hey! What the hell are you doing anyway? Hey!
Georgia parents offended by Far East religion of yoga. By the way, just to put a capper on the Gary Shandling news that, you know, we had Bobby Dooley on.
Dooley, the story she told was so discombobulated.
Well, I mean, just to put a capper on the whole thing, I was thinking about it today. I got the news, I suppose, like everybody else. I was on social media.
Where did you get it? On Twitter?
Yeah, I saw it. Actually, Variety Magazine had it. And I said this during the pre-show, and I suppose I should say it here to you guys. Our BSPs already know it. But it was a funny thing because Gary Shandling, to me, was like a comedy dad. You know, in other words, I'm like one of the kids, and he was a dad. And you want your parents to be proud of you.
So you wanted Gary Shandling's approval.
Now, so now that he's passed on, what did you think?
It was sad. It was very sad because I didn't know. Isn't that weird?
Well, it's kind of weird, Mr. Henry. Getting kind of weird in here, isn't it?
Yeah, man, it suddenly got weird in here. Wait a minute, man. I'm not saying anything other than, you know, you want to know that one of your... What was that I just...
You had some kind of a black piece of lint on your forehead stuck there by the sweat, and the entire effect was ghoulish and quite weird.
Yeah, so there you go, weird again.
Yeah, that's the magic word.
Yeah, that's the magic word. What was it?
It was a piece of sock lint. Big wow.
All right, so, yeah, so that was the reaction I had. It was like, wow, Gary Shandling is gone, and I sure hope that it was worth it for him to, well, anyway.
This is getting weird, Phil.
To listen to me and to know me and all that stuff.
Oh, well, I understand. No, okay, now I get it, yeah. Now I get it.
Yeah, it was starting to get weird.
If you say weird one more time, man, I'll get weird.
Wow, get a load of this guy balling his fist up, and I'm a retired general, U.S. Army.
All right. Hey, by the way, General, I saw something that you'll appreciate. There was a thing there online someplace, and it was the, Tomb of the Unknown Soldier?
Yeah, what about it?
The guy, some clown said, hey, look, the Marine shuts up these people.
Oh, you know what? That burns my ass. Those are not Marines, and if anybody got a half a brain in their head, that's the United States Army uniform.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Yeah, somebody posted a video, and the people were talking.
Well, what is this? At the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, they have what?
At the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, they have they post a guard. And that guard is a member of the 3rd Infantry Regiment, the old guard of the United States Army, the oldest service in the United States. And if you get up, because yeah, I walked that guard once when I was in the old, guard regiment. And when you hear tourists up there, and they're going blah, 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 yap, 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 this is the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Oh, man.
Woo!
And I'll tell you, I would walk, and if I heard anybody yapping their guts loose or saying, hey, Susie Q or Billy or Bill or Timmy, have you got the popcorn or who's got the film for the camera? Man, I'd run over there. I'd love to take the barrel of that.
Okay, but you didn't do that.
No, I didn't, although I prayed to God that they'd let me fix a bayonet just once, and I'd charge them with the bayonet. And then I'd stop and go, ha ha, I'm only kidding, you motor mouth jack.
You could get in very serious trouble for that.
Oh, really? These people are running there yet?
All right. Well, I mean, the whole reason why I brought it up is because you're right. The Marines are great, and God knows we honor the Marines. And there's so many people listening, myself included, who have friends and family who are in the Marines. But I have friends and family in the Army, and I saw this comment. The guy said, hey, look at this Marine.
What this guy do?
Well, there were people, just like you said, they were running their yaps, and he turned around, and he had his, what do you call it?
Yeah, you have to have it at arms.
Yeah. He had his weapon at arms, and he said, it is requested that you show respect and keep silent. And then he turned around, and he kept walking his guard.
That's exactly what you're supposed to say. You say it with an authoritative voice, and you yell it right at the big fat yaps. Now, one time I did that, I was walking guard there at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Unknown Soldier. That's what I was trying to say. And I turned around because I heard this yada ba 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 ba. And it was beginning to really grate my nerves. I was walking very slowly, walking the guard there. And I turned around, and sure enough, I knew I'd see it. Big, gigantic pink shorts, white sneakers, glasses, a cheesoid perm, and she's got you love them.
Oh, the goldfish.
Yeah, yeah. She's got a handful of goldfish, and just abba. And I saw the goldfish, the orange of the goldfish going into her big fat mouth with the pink short. Oh, man.
Well, what'd you do?
What did I do? I turned, I pointed the bayonet at her, and then I ran.
You did not.
I just a few steps. I said, I'm going to get you, and you should have seen her go, ah! And her big fat ass started to sprint toward the bushes, and that's the last I saw her. And that's when I stopped.
Now, wait, hold just for a moment here.
Phil, you said, wait.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, you did too this morning.
You told us to tell you.
All right. Now, I want to ask you a question. You're walking guard at the Tomb of the Unknown. What? How many different units did you belong to?
I had a long career in the U.S. Army, my fine feathered friend, and I belonged to a great many distinguished units, including the Big Red One.
What's the Big Red One, your penis?
Oh, I'm going to... Hey, wait. Ow! Ow!
Come on now.
I know what you're talking about.
You did that on purpose, bud.
La 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 la, yeah!
You want me to rip your head off? I'll take the head clean off. Come on, General.
General, let go of him. Ow, you almost took my head off.
I barely touched you.
I know.
Will you knock it off? God.
You know, you are lucky that I hold back, Dickman. I do that because of Phil. He told me to hold back. Otherwise, the head would have come clean off.
All right, so now that we've threatened murder and mayhem in this place, Bud, that's very disrespectful, okay? The Big Red One was a major, major unit, the United States Army. It has a distinguished history.
You better believe it, my friend.
So anyway, what happened?
So you see this big fat woman with the big pink shorts.
Yeah, I saw the big fat. So, and I hear this, and I'm like, oh man, what I wouldn't give. And I had the bayonet fixed. So I turn around and I see the big fat pink shorts with the fat ass. And she's got some little tiny husband, and there's a few other people, but I can see that she's the one making the motor mouth because I can see these goldfish that she's throwing into her face by the handful, and I see them chomping up and down and little bits spitting out. Oh, man. What the hell are you laughing at?
General, you do have a way of telling a story.
Oh, is that right? I hope I'm entertaining you.
Well, I mean, it's a good system. So then what happened?
I told you what happened. I looked at her and I said, it is requested that you shut the hole that the good Lord provided under your nose so you could pack goldfish into it. I lowered the bayonet and pretended like I was going to charge her. Okay?
But you stopped, right?
Yeah, no, I ran her through. Yes, I stopped.
Yeah, but you said you saw her sprint.
Well, as soon as I went toward her, then I saw her turn. I saw the goldfish fly. I saw the big fat ass in the pink shorts. And suddenly she darted through some bushes.
Okay. What about the rest of the people?
They were frozen, just stark still. And I said, yeah, okay, that's better. Then I turned around and I commenced.
Well, you're very lucky. Did you hear any disciplinary action because of that?
Are you kidding me? Who's gonna... I said to anybody who... I said, you try squealing on me, it's your word against mine.
Well, they're gonna believe them, aren't they?
Well, that's true.
So, were you disciplined?
Yes, I'd like to know, was there any disciplinary action taken against you?
I don't remember, because that night, I remember going out and getting so drunk...
You blacked out for a few weeks.
Yeah, sure, that's it.
Yeah. All right, so, well, anyway, it was a very interesting piece of tape to see this young, you're right, 3rd Infantry Regiment, United States Army, at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
How come everybody thinks it's a Marine?
I don't know why everyone thinks it's a Marine. Everybody thinks every time you see some guy who knows how to twirl a rifle around and talks like a hard-ass, he's got to be a Marine. Let me tell you something, my friend. There's an old saying, Marines make movies, the Army makes history. Oh!
God,
I beg your pardon.
Well, your voice did kind of crack.
What is that saying again? Marines?
Marines make movies. The Army makes history. Yeah.
Change in my pocket, hit the bucket. Oh. Rocket all of a sudden. I went from shopping without nothing.
Well, on that note.
Shopping for my
on that note.
Now that the cops know that
you're not going to go to a yoga segment now. I got news for you, my friend.
I know that. All right, we're going to take a break. Be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is, Yellow Wolf.
Yellow Wolf? What the hell does that mean?
Means he's like part, he's part black and he's part wolf and everything.
Yeah, that's what it means.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show at the El Pacifico in Southern California.
Billy Shinebox, it's Billy Shinebox all over town. I'm Billy, Billy Shinebox all over town. Billy Shinebox at the Fulton Theater, 5 performances. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution says Billy Shinebox shines, just like the shoes that it shines and the box that it comes in, the shining box of Billy. LA Times says Billy Shinebox brought me back to tears that I had not wept since that day I had my teeth kicked in for shortchanging the man at the airport. Billy Shinebox, the Fulton Theater downtown. Billy's, Billy Shinebox. Hey, Dave Nackerty, Dave Nackerty's chili. You know something, one thing I guarantee, when we make our chili, no one's going to defecate in it. I know it sounds crazy, but there are people who would do that. There's crazy places and crazy kids and crazy employees that pull that kind of stuff. At Dave Nackerty's Chili, it's the real thing. It's real beans, real meat, real cheese, and we deliver it to you with a smile on our face. You can be assured no one's ass was hanging over that thing and dropping something in it that shouldn't be in there. Dave Nackerty's Chili, come on down. I'll get you a bowl of chili. You'll love it. Here, let me have a bowl right now.
Help me.
All right, Dave.
Please help me.
Dave Nackerty's Chili, downtown.
You're not a singer, uniform, Isabel Marant, when you want to
all right, everybody. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Let's check in with our very good, close, personal friend, Dean Wheeler. And Dean is actually up north right now. He's rehearsing his band, and I was not aware that the band was going to be rehearsed. Bud, did...
They told us. Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about yoga. Dean Wheeler, how are you, buddy?
Oh, hi, Phil. Yeah, we're here at the Little Shrimp. We're in the East Bay right now, and I can tell you it's been very busy. I'm very much prepared to talk to you about... Hold on for a minute. I'm very much prepared, Phil, to talk to you about yoga, but Emerald is on stage tonight, and I'm going to be duetting... Hold on. And go with it! Yeah, you're doing it great. You're doing it great.
I don't know if he's going to be...
He's rehearsing them, right?
Yeah, this is what he's always doing.
On your mind, have a little patience. Ow.
Dean, you all right?
Yeah, hold on. All right, guys, take five. Take five, okay? Go ahead, knock it off. I'm going to talk to Phil. Take five. Take five.
They're not paying attention.
I know they're not paying attention. Take five.
Hey, guys, take five, will you? Right in. Take five.
Why didn't they listen to me?
I don't know.
Guys, take five, all right?
How long should we be off for? Five.
Hey, hold on for a minute. Phil, will you...
Yeah, I know, Dean, but every time I'm talking to you...
Oh, just a minute. Did you hear me say take five?
What?
Did you hear me say take five?
I didn't hear you.
You want to take five?
Yeah, take five.
No, I'll do it. Let me do it. Hey, guys!
Hey, guys.
Yeah?
Yeah, Mr. Wheeler's talking to you.
Take five.
What?
Take five.
Huh? Take five.
Oh, okay. What the...
Oh, man.
Dean, you want us to let you go?
No, it's all right. That's weird. They're not paying attention to me at all. All right, what do you want
to... Well, Dean, we're calling to talk about the yoga. In Georgia, there is a couple of parents that got yoga banned from their child's school because they're afraid that it's some weird, kooky religion.
Well, you know, you're always going to have to deal with this. I was a missionary before I got into yoga. You know, I was a Christian missionary. It was after I kicked heroin, but before I picked up the New Age beliefs that I have today. And I'm happy with them. Emeralda is happy with them as well. But I understand the superstitious mind of some of these people because I worked among them. When I was, for instance, I was working in the South, only we weren't in Atlanta, we were in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, for the first theatrical church.
Now, what is that?
It's a Pentecostal church. But I was working among some very, very superstitious and extremely fundamental and undeveloped, I guess you could say, Christians. And I said, now understand, it's yoga. And they would go, ooh, and run away. And we would have to, Emerald, do you remember that? We would have to go and get them. They'd run out of the building that we were in, and they'd run into the forest when it was raining.
What are you talking? You're talking about Americans?
Yes, these were Americans, but they're very backward. They're of the Christian faith. And I'm not saying that Christians are backward, but this was a particular sect of Christians. Which you find all over America, and when you mention things like yoga, they get frightened and run off into a forest.
Well, what do you mean a forest?
In other words, any wooded area. What do you think I'm saying?
Well, you said, okay, so any wooded area to run to.
Yeah. Oh, baby.
All right, we're just having a hard time understanding this, Dean. You were a missionary for this church before you became a New Age devotee, shall we say.
Well, before I began to study principles, the metaphysical principles, yeah. And one of the things that changed me, I think, is when I was working among the more primitive Christian peoples of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and of Decatur, Georgia. And I would go into these neighborhoods, and I'd say, hi, I'm Dean Wheeler. And I'm with the Theatrical Church of Las Vegas, Nevada at that time. That's where I met my beautiful, beautiful wife, Emeralda. How you doing, honey?
Very nice.
Thank you. And I'd say, now, do you know about yoga and deep breathing exercises?
Now, why were you bringing that up?
Well, what I wanted to do was to give these people a little bit of an exercise regimen because... they were really out of shape. A lot of chewing tobacco, lots of chicken, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean, like my grandmother's house.
Yeah, lots of chicken, you know, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's...
Yeah, a lot of white bread and a lot of chicken. So as soon as I saw them, it's chicken, and they said, yeah, and they opened up a big bucket that had to have been the size of a garbage can. And I said, where did you get that? And they said, have you ever heard of Colonel Sanders? Oh, you know, like that. So I knew I was going to be, they were going to anger me because they thought they were real funny.
Now, these are all these primitive Christians. Now, what did you say to them that got them to run into the forest?
Well, I said, let's do some deep breathing. And they go, what's that? Ooh, you know, they began to back away from me. And I said, now gather around. It's okay. Everything's going to be okay. And I grabbed one of them, a little boy. I say a little boy. Mentally, he was. He was 26. And he was a man who was a part of this Christian sect. And I said, now listen, and I hugged him, and I said, I rubbed his head. I said, there's nothing to be afraid of. We're going to do some deep breathing exercises. It's part of something called yoga. And that's when he went, and I tried to grab, and he ran into the woods, and he was followed thereafter by his mother. I thought she was running to get him, but she was running away with him. He was first, and then she followed by about 50 yards.
So you're telling me that these are Americans who happen to have been very fundamentalist Christian and backward, and as the result of that, were frightened by you talking about yoga?
Yes, I am.
That is nuts.
Well, how nuts is it when you got these people in Georgia saying they don't want it?
Well, there's the point right there, General.
That is a very good point.
I mean, if you've got people in Georgia saying, I don't want to have it, I can't use it, what are you going to do about that?
Well, I know that, Dean, but it seems very weird that not only are they rejecting the yoga, but they run away from it.
Yeah, but a lot of the primitive peoples will do that.
That's what I'm talking about. What do you mean primitive people? Phil, do you understand what I'm saying?
I think what Margaret's saying here is that it's for America.
Oh, I know what she's saying, Phil. I've heard it all before. I've heard it 1,000 times before. People cannot conceive that in this country, America, there are individuals who go, and run. But I did talk to, as a matter of fact, can I tell you, I'm going to introduce you a guy, Snooky Brinson, who plays trombone in Amarilda's band. He's one of the few reliable musicians I've got. Snooky, talk to Mr. Henry. Remember when Snooky was a part of Theatrical Church? He was with us in Louisiana. Come over. Well, hello.
Hi, Snooky. It's Phil Henry.
Oh, hello.
Hi. So you were with Dean.
Hi, it's Margaret Gray. It's Snooky, right?
Yes, it is. It's Snooky, and you're Margaret, right?
Yes, I'm Margaret.
Hello.
Yes, Snooky, we're asking about. Let me do it, all right?
That's fine. I'll answer any question you have.
All right. You were with Dean in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, were you not?
Yes, well, I was with Dean when we were part of the Theatrical Church. And I've been with Dean when we had our band. Not asking about the band. All right.
Okay, so did you encounter these Christian people that were frightened?
Oh, yeah. We encountered Christian people in Baton Rouge and Bogalusa. In Shreveport and parts of New Orleans, and they flip their lid, is the way Dean used to put it. When you'd say, let's do some deep breathing exercise, and as soon as you sat cross-legged on the ground, they'd become very agitated. That's a good word for it, yeah. Agitated. And I'd say to them, what's wrong? What's wrong? And they would make noises. And then you'd see one or two begin to sprint toward the forest line, right toward the tree line. And you see two more sprint toward the tree line. And that was that young man, right? And he was followed by his mother.
Right.
You generally see the young ones run. And then you see the adults run. You think the adults going to go get the young ones, but they're just following by 50, 75 yards. They'd hit the tree line. And man, that would be the last you'd ever see them. You wouldn't see them again, ever. And we went back to town many times to see that.
Snooky, Phil Henry here. So what eventually became of your missionary work?
Well, we hung around a lot of these towns for, I guess, Dean, 6 months? I don't know. About 6 months. And that's when Dean said, you know, this is really not, we don't seem to be getting anywhere. And he said, you play trombone, don't you? And I said, I do. He said, I've got a young lady. I'll marry this girl. She's got a great voice. Why don't we put together a band? I said, I will. He said, are you ready to relocate to California? And I said, why not? You know, I've seen about enough of this that I was going to be able to stomach if I saw one more backwoods town and crazy people in the thin cotton dresses running off into the woods and howling like an old world monkey from a tree line. And you'd hear them in there going, ooh, yeah, ooh. I couldn't take it. So, and that's what we did, Phil. Thank you, Snooky. All right, I got to go tune it. Is there such a thing as tuning a trombone? I don't know. Just so you can see what we're talking about. You can see what we're up against.
All right, we're talking with Dean Wheeler about yoga and how some people are frightened of it. I think the idea that yoga is not, you know, Margaret, it's crazy that yoga is viewed as something that's, you know, a foreign religion.
You know, a lot of these people are just, they're weirded out by the whole thing. And a lot of them, though, I will tell you, Dean, because you were on the program the other day doing your yoga, and you had your
Okay, you know what, General? I already went through this.
Well, you're the one that was telling us you got your nose stuck right up your very own, you know.
Yeah, see, your own butt crack.
Thank you very much for that, Crude.
Can we watch the language?
Yeah, bud, come on. Well, that's what he said.
I said that I was doing a specific kind of prana yoga, whereby I was extending and stretching my spinal column, and my nose, by happenstance, once the entire pose is completed, your nose should be literally touching the crack
of your ass.
The crack of your ass.
Don't you hang.
I want to hang up so much. Here. Well, he just gave me the phone.
You don't have to talk anymore, Snooki, okay? You can give the phone to Dean.
Why, so do it. I don't want to. Yeah, you know, Phil, treating me like I'm the punchline to an ongoing joke, and the joke is titled Dean Wheeler's Life, and it's a never-ending joke, and every time you call me up...
Dean, you know... Dean, why don't you knock it off with the persecution? We're just trying to get to the bottom of this yoga. You're the guy that said your nose was right up against your rear end crack, didn't you?
Well, I won't be talked...
Didn't you say that?
Yes, I did.
All right. Then what are you getting all bent out of shape for when we say, that's what you said? How do you know a lot of the people aren't getting kind of just frustrated with the whole thing because...
What, because they're seeing me with my nose up my own ass? Well, he gave me the phone again.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I'll let you guys go.
Look, Phil, we are very... Can I just... We are very, very pressurized here, and we're looking at... why did they start?
I just went ahead. I had them start.
That's not your job, is it? All right, can you hold on, Phil, because I got a big point I want to make here.
Oh, yeah, you always got a big point you want to make before you howl your way through this song like you're a cat with its tail shoved in a cement mixer.
What?
What does that mean?
You know what, Dickman, I'd like to trip you and watch you fall six flights.
All right, here we go, guys. Two. And that's it.
You want me to play here, too?
Isn't there a trombone part?
Yeah.
Then get over there. Here we go.
The sounds betray you.
Yeah.
Go with it.
Where are the lyrics? Where's the lyric sheet? Emeralda, why aren't you singing this?
Please change your mind.
Phil, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, we'll get it down. So what do you think?
Of what?
Of the song.
It stinks.
Thank you very much. Fuck, I can't.
Goodbye, Dean. We'll let you go.
What a...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he called you an a-hole.
Yeah, see? See, Mr. Henry? I always tell you, see?
What is it with you, bud? See? Phil is very aware of what a mental midget Dean Wheeler is. I don't think he needs your counsel.
I think Dean's got all kinds of problems. The first one is how he...
What's that?
The first one is how he practices yoga, man. I don't think he's doing it right.
I don't care what kind of yoga you're doing, man. Your nose is not supposed to wind up your own ass, man.
Although it's got to be one hell of an exercise, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it probably stretches you out and everything.
Oh, God, you know, good for you, bud. You're so smart. Famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay!